So some information now about a couple of programs that are coming up. Of course, the big program is tomorrow, which is the culminating event of our retreat. And it is a half-day intensive. But even though it's a half-day, it's full of inspiration. There'll be talks by Swamiji, a chance to go really deep in meditation, and of course, Shaktipat. And whether you're a first-timer or whether you've been coming to these programs many times over the years, these intensives are always really special events that go deep into the heart of what it is that this place is all about and what this tradition is all about. So if you want to join us, of course you can, and you can learn more about it and register online at satsanglive.com.au. You can also find out online about Swamiji's wonderful Shakti-filled book, Ganeshpuri Days, Memoirs of a Western Yogi, which is essential reading. And you can order your copy in many different forms from www.ganeshpuridays.com. And finally, I'd just like to mention that with the start of a new year, we have a new round of Shiva Process training opportunities. And we do both a level one and a level two training. The level one is to teach you as an individual all there is to know about the profound, transformative and mystical technology that Swamiji learnt at the, or was inspired by at the feet of his guru, Baba. And it's a six-week course, and you can find out about that again online.
Welcome, everyone. First order of business is Kids Darshan. So I want to say hello to all the kids out there. Around the peninsula, there's Sammy. Hi, Sammy. And hi, Vaishnavi and Santoshi and Josh. Been so long since we've seen the kids. And Safira and Patrick and Mukti. And also Harvey, Ocean, and Leo. And Anusa, Rafi, and Amalia. Welcome, all of you. So, welcome, everybody. As we get to the end of our retreat, our commemorative retreat, it's always the most exciting thing is the intensive, which is tomorrow. And I always feel very excited when an intensive comes because Baba emphasized that he wanted me above all to do these intensives. And so it's a great opportunity for me. So I'd like to begin by saying, as Baba said before every program in Hindi, Sabko Barisanmane Kesat Pemse Hardik Swagat, with great respect and love, I welcome you all with all my heart. And he would always say that that's the essence of spirituality, the essence of his teaching, to welcome another person with love, to welcome yourself with love, to live in love as love, meditate on that love. So in that spirit, I want to welcome you all. And because of these anniversaries that Lilavati was talking about, I've been thinking about those days, thinking about Baba intensely, and thinking about the people that I rode the trail with back in those days. and then Baba seems to have blessed us a little bit too, because of a big sheaf of photographs came in from an old timer, an old friend of mine, my next door neighbor in the dormitory in Ganeshpuri. He was known as Ram then, now he's Swami Ramananda. And he sent me a whole bunch of photographs, some of which he took, and some which are the foundation, and before the foundation was, these photographs were. So here are a few of pictures of from the old days of Sri Baba. Okay, this is That's so filled with interesting characters. This is in the hall, Bhagwan Nityananda Hall, in right where you come in from the street. What?
She said Nataraj is there at the back.
The guy in the back with his hand in the air is Ram, Ramananda. Nataraj, yeah. And then I recognize quite a few people in there. I can't see the left.
Westerner is the guy who looks like Nataraj.
That's Ram. That's Ram. Ram is on the left.
Yeah, but what about on the right?
On the right.
In front of the photo.
Yeah, I'm not sure who that is. Is it me? It looks a little, but it's not me. I'll tell you somebody you know there. This is in the hall at the end of a sapta, at the end of a 7-day chant. And Baba's leading the end. The young kid dancing next to Baba is Dilip, who runs, you all know because he runs a shop in Chapel Street. Not this Chapel Street, Chapel Street, Ganeshpuri. Here's an esoteric fact. The fellow in the lower right-hand corner was named Yadav, and he's now a guru in India with a massive following known as Sri Kaka. No, Sai Kaka, Sai Kaka. Kaka means uncle. Not what you think it means. Be good people. But
he's so short.
Yeah.
Yadav.
Yadav. So what else do you have? That's so interesting, isn't it? There's Baba with some of his dogs. This would have been probably just a few years before I got there. Late 60s. Okay, next one. This one we had blown up in Ann Arbor to bigger than life size. And because that...
Did it have that background?
What?
Did it have that background?
Yeah. We might have taken it out. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we use that to keep the ashram very disciplined. And finally, last one, is it? I'd never seen this picture before. This is much earlier, probably early 60s. Yeah, wonderful. You enjoy those? Okay. What?
He was such a happy guy.
Yep. So Brahmananda mentioned to me that he's in touch with an old timer named Padmanabha. And he was like this hippie surfer dude from California or Hawaii or somewhere like that. And he was the cook before Chandra. Before Chandra was the cook, he was. I guess Baba had to phase him out because he needed something. A hippie dude couldn't handle the volume of the cooking. But I said, yeah, I'd like to call him. I got his phone number. I called Padmanabha up today. And he's...
I can't hear us, so I'm asking him...
Oh, you can't hear?
Yeah, now I can.
Okay. So anyway, Padmanabha's 90 years old now. And I spoke to him for about a half hour. I didn't get a word in edgewise. He just told me one Baba story after another. It's fantastic. Wow. All kinds of miracle stories and wild experiences that he had, all this stuff. I'll tell you one. He was cooking, and there was a big thing, probably out in California, there was a big event, apparently in the park. You know, they used to have all kinds of be-ins in Golden Gate Park. I don't know what that was, but So he was cooking, and Baba came in the kitchen and said, there's going to be a few more people. You have enough food? And he said, how many people? He said, oh, a few more, 200. And said, Baba, we just have this, I think it was maybe at a retreat, I don't know what it, we just have this one pot. And Baba says, okay, he says, put the lid on the pot. And he hit the pot like that. He says, don't look in the pot and keep serving. So they served and everybody got fed. So they were all talking about this. This is one of those stories. And the next day, Baba came in the kitchen, started yelling at them that cities were not important at all, that all that was important was meditate to attain the self. Yeah.
Great story.
Great story. All right.
Wow.
So he's going to send me his book. He's written a lot of these stories up. He's going to send me a copy of it. So of course, I'm going to do some things from Baba. A variety of things. First, the method, the technique that to me means the most, and I think is the most unfailing and powerful yogic technique known to humanity. And it's in Shiva Sutras number 2-6, and it goes, Guru Rupaya. The guru is the means. Upaya, and upaya is a means, method, and it has a technical meaning in Kashmir Shaivism, because they categorize all the different methods of yoga in three, maybe four categories of upayas, anavapaya, shaktapaya, and, you know, like that. And this is its own upaya, guru rupaya. And to me, that's the highest upaya. The guru is the means. And Baba writes about that in Siddha Meditation. For self-realization, the guru is the most effective means. Lord Shiva also agrees. It means the Shiva Sutras were authored by Lord Shiva. Also agrees that a disciple's self-unfolding takes place only by guru's grace. The guru destroys the darkness in the hearts of his disciples and fills them with the light of knowledge. The guru should not be confused with a particular physical form, nor does a flair for scholarship or literary talent make one a guru. The guru is one in whom the divine power of grace has taken permanent abode. Even an ordinary teacher can impart a mantra, prescribe some tantric technique, or explain the scriptures. He alone is the supreme guru who dispenses grace and enters his disciples as grace, as Shakti, blessing them with Shaktipat. He turns them into gurus like himself. He reveals the potency of mantra. Such a guru is himself Shiva. It is by the power of mantra that the Kundalini awakens. Inner yoga is initiated, and the highest truth, the Supreme Lord, is directly experienced. Such a guru, the most effective of means for his disciples, is truly hard to find. So we're very fortunate to have found that. So I've been talking to all kinds of people from my past, and I wasn't planning to tell you about it, but I called South Fallsburg and spoke to an old friend of mine named Swami Ishwarananda there, and I'd send him a copy of my book. And I said, you read my book? He said, I read parts of it, but then someone wanted to read it, so I lent it to them. I said, oh, really? I thought someone might want to read it. And so that's all I'll say. Here's a story. Here's a story. This is from an old Siddha path. We used to sometimes collect little vignettes. Not the kind that make my father happy, but stories of Baba. So here's a great little Baba story. The writer says, Baba was about to leave on his third world tour, and I wanted to stay on in Ganeshpuri after he left, even though I knew that people were needed to help run the center in my country. A few weeks before Baba left, I asked him, Baba, can I stay in Ganeshpuri after you leave? Yes, Baba answered, stay for 4 or 5 days and then go home. Can I stay longer? If you want to, stay a week, Baba said. Only a week? Stay a month. Only a month, Baba? All right, stay as long as you like. I was delighted. Then a few days later, I found out that my visa had expired and I couldn't seem to get it renewed. So exactly 4 days after Baba's departure, I found myself on a plane back home. That's such a great, great little Baba story. You like that? This one is Bhagwan Nityananda, a wonderful teaching from the Chittakash Gita. Enter liberation, the sky of consciousness. Bhagwan Nityananda says, let the buddhi, the intellect, rise to the center of the sky of consciousness and become one with the dawn of the Atman, the dawn of the self. How can we say that in a more mundane way? That's very Bhagwan-esque. Let the intellect go beyond itself, beyond concepts and beyond words, and merge in pure consciousness. Bhagwan says, offer up the bodily properties and actions. Let your spirit merge with the absolute Atman, the absolute self. Connect not with the mundane reality, the mundane self, but the true self, the true self. We've been conditioned from birth to identify with the mundane self, the personal self, what the scriptures call the jiva. But there's a deeper reality that we have. We don't discover that. Some of us may sense it, but we don't discover it until we meet the guru, we start to read about it in the texts and the scriptures and the teachings. And the whole struggle of spiritual work is to move from the personal to the impersonal. And some people try to get rid of by killing the personal and attain the impersonal. And they discover that's not so easy to do. And ultimately, we discover that we have to honor the personal, but connect to that impersonal. So he says, let your spirit merge with the absolute Atman. Seat your spirit at the crest of the Sushumna, which is its real home, the central canal, the subtle spine, where the energy goes up to the top, to the Brahmarandra, to the highest, the Sahasra, the highest place, and that's the home of the spirit. Let the sense of mine and yours merge. Let all the properties of the individual be unified. Become a siddha, a perfected one, and be fearless. Bhagwan is talking to our deepest self here. This is a long-term project, may take many lifetimes, or if you really want it, can be done very quickly. But he's talking to the self in us, the highest, most noble part of ourselves. Knowing the way to the absolute, give of this food to others. What you know, you must pass on. What you understand, you must pass on. That's why for so many years I've been enthusiastically talking about the guru, meditation, the self, this possibility, because it was shown to me and now I'm enthusiastic to share it. And everybody here I know has shared it whenever they could. One of the things you discover, once you discover this, you think, my God, this is what everyone needs. And then you try to share it. And you walk into a stone wall of ignorance and denial. And then you become more wily and crafty in sharing it. But there are ways always to share it, simply as love, simply as presence. He says, conquer birth and death, be free of birth and death, enjoy eternal peace. The light of the intellect reveals all strength and weaknesses. All workings of the mind are revealed. Like the sky and its reflection, the natural and the subtle are seen separately by those who've realized the self. The natural means the physical world, and the subtle is the hidden or the inner world, the world of consciousness. And there are two aspects, and both are seen by the knower of the self. The inner state is like a jug immersed in water. All is water. Be immersed in the waters of wisdom. Immerse yourself. Don't let the self just be a little intellectual blip, but immerse yourself fully in the self. Fully enter that. Make that your prime reality. It won't hurt you. Then live your life from that place. Let the waters of the self wash desires from the mind. Find joy. Enter liberation. Mind, remain always on the path of liberation. Now, Bhagavan is talking like Baba taught us, to talk to the mind. Bhagavan said, mind, remain always on the path of liberation. Say it to your mind. Mind, remember the self. Hey, dummy. Hey, I'm talking to you. Remember the self. Whether walking or sitting, standing or sleeping, there are no rules of time for liberation. Even in the midst of crowds, let your inner being remain in the sky of consciousness. Your whole life, you should remember the self. Don't put it aside for other things. Even while doing other things, keep that memory. Bhakti and mukti, devotion and liberation, are one. Become one with the Om, the power of Om. Fantastic. Teaching utterance by Bhagavan. Very rarefied, no? And now we'll come back to normal with Baba, which is hardly normal. This is a question answer from my time there, August of 1972. This is from Mahadev. Mahadev was, you know Mahadev, American, came with Sean. And he was a book designer. He was always having fights about the book design with Uma. And that was very humorous. But anyway, he came, and he was very stressed, very nervous. So he said to Baba, sometimes I love being here in the ashram, and other times I feel just the opposite. I've never heard that before. Never. How can you be in such a heavenly place and have that feeling? What can I do to maintain a steady, positive attitude?
Great question.
And Baba says, it's only your own understanding or attitude which is behind the two opposite feelings arising in you. It all depends on how you look at the ashram. If you look at the ashram with love, you will see nectar filling every direction. Compared to the ashram, every other place will fade into insignificance. You wouldn't like to go to the Ganges, to the Himalayas, to Kashi, Benares, what are they called? What else is
Varanasi,
that's it. Even Kailas would pale in comparison to the ashram. There's no pilgrimage place. To this day, I think of Ganeshpuri as the holiest place, much more holy than any other place. And this ashram is a corner of Ganeshpuri. So he says, The ashram will yield its secrets to you more and more. But if you look at the ashram with a fault-finding attitude, with the wrong attitude, then you'll soon get fed up with it and want to go away somewhere as soon as you can. The ashram will appear to you to be a hell, an intolerable place. How the ashram appears to you depends on the state of your own mind, and you should improve your own mind. Change your attitude, work on it. Those words should be imprinted on somewhere. That's very true. You know how people say, that's very true. That's very true. How true is true? You mean truer than true? It's very true. That's very true. Baba says, the mind is at the root of everything. The mind is at the root of bondage and liberation, of happiness and misery, of virtue and sin, and of every other duality. If your mind accepts a certain place, you begin to love it. You make friendships with it, and you love to be there. If the mind rejects a certain place, you begin to hate it. You become callous towards it. You lose all your feeling for it, and you try to run away. So it is the mind which is its own heaven and hell. When the mind is deluded, it becomes its own hell. And when the mind enjoys its own grace, it is heaven itself. A wonderful answer, isn't it? This is like, you know, there's the essence of one aspect of Baba's teaching here. It is futile to blame somebody else for your being in hell. Now, in the words of the form, you have to take responsibility for the condition of your own brain, your own mind, and your own heart. And we have such capacity of joy and love in us if we only take responsibility and find the key to that. He says, this is harsh, you ready? Trigger alert. It was only the day before yesterday the visitor came here and began to complain. My boss isn't good. My subordinates aren't good. And when I go home, I find that my wife is equally worthless. And so are my children. I think this was a fictional, but it was based on much life experience of Baba's. I said to him, is your mind in harmony with you? He said, no, not at all. My mind torments me very much. My mind is very bad. Then I said, if your own mind doesn't agree with you, how can anybody else agree with you? If your mind is not your friend, how can your boss be your friend? How can your subordinates be your friend? So Baba says, therefore, first make your own mind your friend, because it is your own mind which is the source of good and bad. The way you look at a certain thing depends on the state of your mind. Therefore, make your mind clean and pure through chanting and meditation, and then you will find everlasting peace. So there you are. Fantastic answer. That's one side of Baba's teachings, and this question represents the other side of Baba's teaching. Was that, did you find that wonderful or very difficult to hear? Did it fry you? Is it a fry? Question. Recently I caught a glimpse of who I was, and a few days later I was overcome by tears of happiness. Is this unusual? It's a very weird question, isn't it? Baba says, the second experience is greater than the first, being overcome by tears of happiness. In the first experience, you just found out who you were, but that was your understanding, that was knowledge. Now you've gone beyond that and you've begun to cry because of that love, because you know who you are. Become immersed in that love. Give up all other things. Man has taken birth to attain love. to jump with love, to dance with love, and to swim in the ocean of love. He didn't take birth to fight with others, to be confused, to have conflicts. In America, he did. Sorry. Give up thinking of others. Give up looking at others. Look at your own self. Become immersed in your own ecstasy. Try to see how much happiness lies within you. The ocean of joy, the ocean of happiness, the ocean of love and peace is so large that compared to it, the outer ocean is not big at all. Inside you, listen to God. Talk to God. See God. Then you'll become an ecstatic being. Give up looking at another's makeup, another's mustache, another's hairstyle. Look at your own self. This is even better than the other one. How can you top the other one?
You did.
Baba is the dude of dudes. That's all I have to say. I'm allowed to be a little intoxicated, 50-year anniversary, you know? That's so cool. So cool. The poet Saint Kabir used to look at his own self. He spoke in this way. It's Kabir. Baba loved Kabir. Kabir was a really, he wasn't some namby-pamby poet. He was hard-boiled, hard-hitting. That's why he liked Qawwalis. Qawwalis really, you know, the Islamic chanting, they go right to the heart of it. It's not like, nah, nah, it's so beautiful, so wonderful, blah, blah. So, anyway. What?
They tell the truth.
They tell the truth. They say it's beautiful and wonderful. It is. Anyway, this isn't heavy, what he's saying. It's beautiful. He says, by listening to the divine music, by listening to my inner self, my mind became immersed in that. My mind became ecstatic. The inner love is so great that the moment I attained it, I became still. I went mad with love, and I perceived the inner flame, the divine flame. Then I began to delight in the self. When I began to experience that love, I went into samadhi, and I became consciousness. I became God. I became immersed in the wisdom of my guru's words. When I arrived at unity awareness, I began to see everything as beautiful, as consciousness, as God. My mind became completely absorbed in the wisdom of my guru. As I began to listen to that music, the brilliant light began to blaze in its fullness, and the nectar of love began to flow. The pot of nectar turned upside down. Little by little, and as I tasted that nectar, I became very intoxicated. Oh, sadhus! I became so intoxicated just by sipping that nectar of love. While listening to that inner divine music, my mind became immersed in that. That's Kabir. And Baba says, this is the attainment of Kundalini Yoga. Only when a person attains this is he or she a real human being. Then his human birth has accomplished something. Otherwise, what's the use of this human body? It's what all the scriptures say, that you know, we're not here just to eat shit and procreate. We're here to know the self, to attain the truth. Everyone is great. Everyone has that love. Everyone has that peace. No one has any negativities. No one is inferior. No one is low, and no one is petty. Never commit the sin of thinking yourself ordinary or petty. Never commit the sin of considering yourself a sinner. That divine self is blazing within all of you. It is true, in the mosque of everyone's heart, the light of God is shining. That is the abode of God. in the mosque. The mosque is an empty space. It has no idols in the mosque. And all the, in the church and the temple, they have idols and images, but in the mosque, they have nothing. But in the mosque of the human heart, the light of God is shining. And that is the abode of God. So I can't go beyond that. It's too beautiful. How good is that?
The best.
Yeah. So that's Baba's essential message. Have the wisdom and the understanding to separate that which nurtures the spirit and that which moves you away from the spirit. The wisdom to move toward, always towards that light. And that light is there waiting for us to tap it. And when we tap it, we're immersed in love, we're immersed in peace and joy. So, and the way that Baba always prescribed was to meditate. Turn within. Turn the consciousness within towards the source, towards the seed. They used the word bija mantra, bija, seed. Bija vadanam, one of the Shiva sutras, bija vadanam. And that means focus on the seed, the source, the center. You know, in the West we think at the center of everything is nothing. That if you go down through protons, neutrons, positrons, negatrons, big trons, little trons, electrons and, you know, whatever, you get to nothing. But Shaivism says the seed is consciousness itself. That when you go down and down and deconstruct everything, what's left is God. What's left is love. What's left is luminous consciousness. So deconstruct everything. When you get rid of all your trips, your personality, your persona, your posturing, your fears, your neuroses, your drama, your story, get rid of it all. Go down to the core and find. And what you'll find there is quite wonderful. You'll find that that love and that joy is within every person. This is the essence of what Baba demonstrated in his being, demonstrated in his teaching, awakened people to, demonstrated in his life, and showed thousands of people the way to that. So let's meditate for 10 minutes. And I look forward to seeing you at the intensive tomorrow. And once again, with great love and respect, I welcome you all with all my heart. Satguna Maharaj Ki Jai. And we'll meditate now for 10 minutes.
Hi, everyone. If you enjoyed this podcast, why not check out Swamiji's latest book, Ganesh Pridays, Memoirs of a Western Yogi. It's about the time he spent in India with his guru, Baba Muktananda, in the 1970s, and it's a great read. To get a copy, go to ganeshpridays.com. That's ganeshpuri, days.com. Wherever you are in the world, you can get the book on Kindle or printed in your own country.